This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 17th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have legal issues in the news. Amy Guida tests the principle of finders keepers. We'll also have a forecast coming up with meteorologist Scott Oltoff. First, a look at today's news. Landlords in Champaign are no longer required to accept Section 8 or other rental subsidy vouchers. Last night, the City Council voted 6-3 to drop the Section 8 protections that they had enacted a year and a half ago. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Appreciate Section 8, housing for all as summer quick.
These musicians playing outside the Champaign City Building last night were among the opponents to the City Council's move to let landlords refuse Section 8 vouchers. Councilmember Mike Ledoux voted with the opponents. He says anything that reduces the number of apartments in the Section 8 program could make it harder for low-income people to find housing within the 90-day window imposed by Section 8 rules.
If it does, if that's the effect that it would have, if we lengthen the time it takes a disadvantaged person to find housing, isn't there something discriminatory about that?
But Mayor Jerry Schweihart, speaking prior to the meeting, said lifting the Section 8 requirements doesn't excuse landlords from being fair. It just relieves them from having to deal with Section 8 rules and paperwork.
None of the landlords can discriminate on race, creed, color, any of them. None of that changes. And so they're saying, you know, we're allowing discrimination. Not true.
Rules requiring landlords to accept Section 8 vouchers remain in effect in the city of Urbana. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Property owners in downtown Champaign and in Campustown will now have to keep their sidewalks free of snow and ice during the winter, under a measure that narrowly passed the city council last night. The measure was inspired by last February's blizzard. It requires property owners to clear their walks if at least 2 inches of snow is accumulated, or if the sidewalk has ice, sleet, or freezing rain. Councilman Tom Bruno argued that the measure would be an unfair burden on residents who live downtown or near the U of I campus, especially the elderly, the disabled, and students who may be away on break during heavy snow. But Councilman Ken Purock says those are the same people who depend on clear sidewalks in the winter.
Most of the people that fall into those categories that we've heard of are in favor of this. They want it because those are the people who use the sidewalks. So they're perfectly willing to take care of the snow on their sidewalk because they know what it's like and how important it is to be able to use a sidewalk and feel safe when you're doing it.
The original proposal would have made the snow removal requirement citywide. This compromise version covers only the university and downtown districts. Snow removal is mandatory only after an official announcement from Champaign's Public Works Director. Monday's rainfall helped winter water levels in Lake Decatur, but Decatur officials say it wasn't enough to warrant lifting the water restrictions that took effect earlier this week. The water level in Lake Decatur rose about a tenth of an inch due to the rain, but it still remains more than 32 inches below its normal level for this time of year. Assistant City Manager Billy Tyus says it would take several heavy rainfalls to bring the lake back to normal. Decatur residents are currently required to limit their lawn watering and not to fill their swimming pools or wash their cars at home. Violators can be fined by the city. A meeting today at the University of Illinois looks at the vulnerability of the nation's power grid and how it should be built in the future. National industry experts will join U of I researchers to discuss potential threats to the power supply, how to respond in the event of an attack, and future security standards. Himanju Khurana is a principal research scientist at the U of I and an organizer of today's Industry Workshop Day. He says the possibility of a cyber attack on the nation's grid is greater than ever.
We are very concerned with the possibilities of what adversaries might be able to do in terms of perhaps bringing down the infrastructure through cyber attacks and cyber means. So we would like to establish a long-term research plan to figure out how we can develop technologies, methodologies, and evaluate them in test beds before they're deployed in the power grid to make sure that systems are secure in the long run.
The panel is funded by the National Science Foundation. The guests include the founder and president of a security group that designs defenses against cyber attacks and a technical executive that oversees power transmission and distribution. A group of U of I researchers are among those sharing the Nobel Peace Prize with former Vice President Al Gore. The 8 researchers are part of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change that won the Nobel Prize last Friday. The IPCC received the award for its panel or for its efforts to understand and inform the public about global climate change. Don Wubbles is the director of the School of Earth Science and Environment at the U of I. He says it took him a while before he realized that he was among several hundred researchers on the panel who share that prize.
First thing I heard actually only mentioned that Al Gore had won the Nobel Peace Prize, and I thought, well, great. And then it wasn't more than 10 or 15 minutes later where I heard a little bit longer story, and it mentioned that the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change had won. And the first time I heard it, I thought, oh, that's really good. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, I'm part of that.
Wubbles says he's been with the IPCC since the beginning, and he's one of the lead authors of a study that assessed global climate change. He says although there are still people who doubt that humans contribute to climate change, there is scientific evidence to prove it. Exactly how long is a moment? The state of Illinois hasn't said, but lawmakers still want students to spend a moment in silence at the start of every school day. Opponents call it an end run around the constitutional ban on school prayer, while supporters insist that it's simply a quiet moment. The Illinois State Board of Education has sent a note reminding schools that the law is in effect and encouraging them to comply, but it offered no specific guidance, including on how much time to take for the period of silence. Matt Vanover is a spokesman for the state board. He says implementation is going to have to be decided on a local basis. He says what's a brief moment for a kindergartner, for example, may not be a brief moment to a 12th grader. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Commentator Amy Guida found a treasure the other day, a treasure lost by somebody else. She considers ownership in this week's Legal Issues in the News.
I found a baby booty on the University of Illinois campus the other day. It's hand-knit, off-white, and has a yarn bow in the front. I imagine that a very cute little baby out there misses one very cute little booty. Even though I found the treasure and it's currently in my possession, that little baby still owns it. Title in it hasn't transferred to me just because I picked it up from a campus sidewalk. That's what the law says generally. Legal doctrine differentiates between lost and abandoned property. If I'd found that baby booty in a garbage bin, then it would be mine. If something's purposely put in the trash, it's there for the taking, and title in the item would shift immediately to the finder. I once found some beautiful leather-bound court books in a dumpster outside a courthouse during its renovation. Those books now belong to me. But the hand-knit off-white booty with the yarn bow found on campus near the art annex doesn't. A great example of the lost and abandoned property distinction comes from Champaign County, the place where the booty was lost. A couple put their silver into a bag for safekeeping, and that bag somehow found its way to Goodwill. 2 hours after their donation, the couple realized their mistake. They called Goodwill, but Goodwill had already sold the silver to a third party. The couple sued that third-party purchaser when she didn't return it. The appellate court found that the purchaser didn't have good title to the silver because Goodwill itself never had good title. The couple hadn't abandoned their possessions. They had accidentally donated them. So the couple got their silver back. Same idea in a case involving millions of dollars worth of certificates of deposit found in an old filing cabinet sold by a bank to a furniture dealer who sold it to another who gave it to a friend who opened a drawer and found the valuables inside. But the bank successfully argued that it had abandoned only the filing cabinet and not the certificates. The court noted that this wasn't like a case involving a bank that had sold a safe knowing that something valuable might be inside. Here, the bank had simply lost the certificates. It hadn't abandoned them. From silver to certificates of deposit to hand-knit off-white baby booties, they're all valuable in their own way. I say that because the one I found is exactly the same as those my mother knit for my oldest son when he was a baby. Same color, same style, same pattern. That's why I'd really like to see it return to its rightful owner. Now, if I could only figure a way to get the word out. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. It may be October, but severe weather may be in our forecast tonight and tomorrow. Meteorologist Scott Olthoff says today in west central and southern Illinois and southwest Indiana, cloudy with rain and thunderstorms arriving this afternoon and evening. Elsewhere, sunny early, increasing clouds in the afternoon. Our highs today ranging from 70 in northwest Illinois to 82 in southern Indiana, with a high of 76 in Champaign-Urbana. For tonight, becoming cloudy and windy across the two states with periods of showers and thunderstorms. A few of them could be severe. Lows from 60 in the north to 68 south. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, very windy and mild with periods of showers and thunderstorms. And again, a few of those storms may be severe. Tomorrow's highs ranging from 75 in northwest Illinois to 84 in the far south, with a high near 80 in Champaign-Urbana, and winds from the south at 25 to 35 miles an hour, with gusts above 40 miles an hour. Friday's outlook, cloudy and windy, a slight chance of a shower or sprinkle, and a high only around 65. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 17th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.